Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Laughter is the best thing in the entire world. Bobby Holland Hanton. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode number 33 with the one and the only Bobby Holland Hanton. Welcome everyone back to the Storybox Podcast. My name is Jay Phantom, and if you are listening for the first time or you are a returning listener, I just want to say how grateful I am, how appreciative I am of you. You guys are amazing, and I've just been overwhelmed with the amazing support and the willingness of a lot of people to actually be part of this project, the Storybox Podcast, and try and change the world and change people's lives with amazing, powerful stories. So really do appreciate you guys. This week on the show, we have Bobby Holland Hanton. Now, if you don't know who Bobby is, he is a legend in the film industry. He is a stuntman that has been on so many movies, I kid you not, that are like blockbusters. If I was to read out some of them for you, you would recognize them immediately. So some of them are Thor Ragnarok, Avengers Infinity War Part 1, and you got Avengers Endgame. You got Mission Impossible 6, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Bobby's also been in other films such as Wonder Woman, doubling for Chris Pine, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Skyfall, doubling for Daniel Craig, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Spectre, Thor. He's also been in the hit TV show Game of Thrones for many of the episodes. Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, Quantum of Solace. Now, going back to Batman, he's also been in the latest Batman, which is coming out. Like I said before, Quantum of Solace, Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2, Pirates of the Caribbean, Captain America, doubling for Chris Evans, and the Oscar-winning Inception, to name but a few. I mean, the list goes on and on, guys. I kid you not. Now, he's most notable and recognized for doubling for Chris Hemsworth, the amazing man, and also doubling for Christian Bale, Daniel Craig, Ryan Reynolds, Channing Tatum, Jake Gyllenhaal, and David Beckham. This guy is honestly incredible, and I am super grateful for Bobby's time today. We did go over time than what I initially had asked him for, which is amazing, but this is a very different episode. So we get to talking a little bit about his, I guess you could say, his career, but we don't focus too much on that because the conversation sort of shifts a little bit. Now, when I start these conversations with people, I never actually know where the conversation is going to turn to. But we ended up speaking and touching on a topic that is so powerful and so needful in today's society, on mental health, and especially men's mental health. And Bobby is partnered and passionate about this other project. He's also ambassador of Battle Cancer, which is another major issue altogether that this amazing organization is promoting awareness of people with cancer, that they're not alone and they can fight through it. And I myself, this is something that I'm passionate about too, having known people in my life that have gone through cancer and seeing what they've had to endure and just being alongside that and seeing it, it just makes me want to spread awareness as much as I can. So check out Battle Cancer as well on Instagram, their website as well. Scott, you're doing an amazing job, man. So keep up the amazing work. And but in the meantime, Bobby and I get to talking about what happened with his mental health. So the downside to being in this industry as well. But the amazing thing is how he got out of it. So he's so much better for it now. So we're going to be talking about that plus so much more. I kid you not, there will be a part two. I guarantee you we're going to do a part two and maybe something special as well. You never know. Fingers crossed. But there's so much more to unpack about Bobby's story that we need to do a part two. And guys, one more thing. If you do get something out of this week's episode with Bobby, make sure to please send it to a friend and family that you believe is struggling with mental health or that needs a little bit of encouragement as well. I guarantee you they're going to feel loved and uplifted as a result of listening to this episode. So please do that. that. And if you are wanting to support us more, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or screenshot this episode to put it up on Instagram and Facebook as well. Tag Bobby and myself. We will reshare it as well. So really appreciate your support, guys. Let's start changing the world through powerful stories like this one. Now, without me going on and on and on, guys, it's time to dive into the story box and hear Bobby Holland Hanton's story.
That is one hell of a resume with one hell of an all-star cast. You are an all-star yourself. Bobby Dazzler Hanton, welcome so much to Storybox Podcast, mate.
Thank you very much for having me, mate. It's a pleasure to meet you. And thanks for like you said, you've been up early since this morning and the time difference is. But listen, with something like Zoom, we can make it work whenever, you know.
Definitely, man. I don't care what time it is. I was even prepared to make it work at 1 o'clock in the morning. And then you're like, no, we can't do that. I'm back here. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I don't care. Whatever it takes, man. Like, I'm really keen to hear your story, man. Like, I appreciate your time. Before we get started, like, I guess how you actually got started doing all this, I have one question that I love asking people, and that is, what is your definition of success?
That's a tough one, really. I think right now in my mindset, the definition of success is happiness. Really. That's the most important thing, I think. And happiness and feeling, you know, humbled and to help, you know, feel like you help other people. And I think that's very important to me. And you know, I've got a great friend network and family that are very close to me and very important in my life. So yeah, I guess, you know, it's not until, like yourself, you know, you roll back some of that. I haven't looked at my website for a long time, but it's, it's great. It's so nice to think, you know, I think that life is so fast paced and go. You never actually sit back and have much time for yourself, which I've really been focusing on lately. So, and I'm finding that to be very calming and relaxing. So, I feel very lucky and privileged to have achieved what I've achieved so far and, worked with some of the most amazing people in the world and traveled and worked in the most amazing places as well. I guess success is different for everyone. But I want to just keep trying to excel at what I love to do and what I'm passionate about. And if awards come with it and things like that, that's just a bonus.
Definitely, man. Like, where did this idea of success come from for you? Was there a gradual period of time where you sort of started realizing it, or was there like a catalyst moment somewhere in your life?
Yeah, I think it was a lot to do with hard work and dedication from a very, very young age. I mean, I started gymnastics when I was 4. I stopped competing in Great Britain when I was 17. And it you know, that covered my whole childhood span of time. It was, you know, I would train maybe 5 to 6 days a week and then competitions at the weekend, training, you know, for 4 to 5 hours a session, spending a lot of time on traveling to different places for competitions, but also to train to get the best coaching I could possibly get. So I think it's rewarding, and it is a reward that it does show that with hard work, it pays off. And I certainly feel that it's paid off in my career to date with what I do and what I'm known for, you know, being a stuntman. I think also as well, we've been quite lucky here in the UK that the film industry and TV has been very busy for the past, I'd say, 12 years, you know, and I started 13 years ago. So I kind of got into it at the perfect time, you know, and not to take away from, you know, what I have achieved, but I also believe it's been in the right place at the right time. And I think, you know, I started as I said, I've been gymnast from the age of 4, but my first, you know, stunt on a movie was at 23 to stunt double for Daniel Craig. And I think if I'd have had the opportunity before that, I maybe not have been in the right mindset to be able to, you know, control that and sustain it and understand the importance of focus and work ethic and stuff like that. So yeah. I think everything happens for a reason and timing is crucial.
So you had a good base before you actually started doing what you're doing now, by the sound of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me to be or for anyone in stunts, you know, females and males, it's great to have a base of a skill and be elite at that skill. So a lot of my friends are martial artists or motocross or drivers, horse riders. To have something like that to a very high level just puts you in really good stead, because it already shows that you've got discipline. It shows that you have work ethic and you have that capacity to, you know, focus and really take that seriously. That automatically, I feel, shows that. And then, you know, for me as a base, gymnastics, to be a stunt performer, as a physical stunt performer, is, I believe, the best base you can have. So, you know, high diving, gymnastics, trampolining were my skills growing up as a kid. So to help with spatial awareness, you know, how to articulate your body, use your body, know how to land, to fall, gymnastics is the best base, you know, that there is. So, you know, and then you try and add as many skills to that as you possibly can after that, as, you know, martial arts and stuff like that. So, but yeah, gymnastics, I would personally say, is the best base.
Definitely, man. Like, why did you decide to go into the realm of stunt work? Like, what was it for you that sort of took you there?
Well, I, again, going back to my gymnastic years, I obviously developed a huge passion and, you know, desire to try and find that buzz and adrenaline rush from a young age. And once I got a taste of that from gymnastics, it was kind of installed in me after that. So I guess once I retired from gymnastics, I was kind of like, well, I've worked my whole childhood to get to where I got. And it would be a shame to waste it, because I almost feel like it's been a lifetime of physical degree for me. And I think the next step for me was to find something that gave me the passion and the adrenaline rush like gymnastics did, which is stunts. It kind of goes hand in hand. So, you know, after gymnastics, I then went into live shows and acrobatic shows, and I did some commercials for free running and parkour. And then I found out the criteria to train and become a professional stuntman in the UK. And at 23 was my first job, and it was kind of, you know, I get that adrenaline rush and buzz from stunts now. And again, being physical throughout my whole life, it's down to training, diet. That's just a part of me. That's kind of a part of my DNA in a way.
Where did you find the motivation to keep going day in and day out? Because you mentioned there for a moment that it's like 5-6 hours of constant training. Where does someone have that mentality to just keep going and pushing through the training when you get tired?
I think for me, I had a lot of energy as a kid. I know a lot of kids do, but I didn't really know how to channel that at the beginning, and I was quite disruptive as a little boy. I think I made my mum's job very difficult bringing me up.
Same.
So gymnastics was a good out and a good way to exert that energy. And it ended up giving me more energy. I don't know how, but it ended up giving me more energy and more disruptive in a way. But I think developing that discipline, but then once I got a taste of having, you know, going to a competition and coming, you know, fifth in the competition and thinking to myself, well, I want that gold medal around my neck. I want to win. I want to improve. I want to get better. And that drive, it became an addiction for me to, you know, I would say to myself, the next competition, I will do better. So the next competition, I came third. And then the next competition, I came first in my club. And then when I got a little bit older, it was the same in the county. And then I would get better and win in the county. Then I would get better and win in the southern region. And it was something that I really had a drive and a desire to win, and I felt good about that. And I guess that's kind of carried on into my adulthood and stunt career, where I want to be the best stunt performer I can be. I want to be the best version of Bobby Holland Hansen I can be. And I know that discipline and focus and drive, I can achieve what I really put in. You know, if I put it in, put the work in, then it will, you will, you know, get that reward in the end. So I know that hard work is very important. And I obviously take, again, because, you know, stunts is very dangerous, but it's also, I take it so seriously, where it's an obsession to be the best I can. And then I feel accomplished. And also I think it's, you know, to have that respect for the industry and have that respect for myself, have that respect for the actors to give it my all and really dedicate my myself to that. And you know, that's what I try and do on every film that I work on.
Mm. I'm curious to know, who is Bobby Holland Hanton without the stunts, without this line of career? Who are you in terms of your own personal passions and ambitions and goals and things like that?
I think, you know, to be honest, I've been trying to search for that, I think, for a long time, because again, physical stunts, that's part of me. So when that's kind of taken away, you kind of go, oh shit, who am I? What do I do? And that kind of happened to me at the beginning of last year. I had back surgery, major back surgery. And I knew that I'd have to take at least 6 months off to get back to fitness. And when you have surgery like that, I now have two titanium discs at L4, L5, S1 level, six screws, three at the side of my lower back. You know, you hope that you're making the right decision, but it's, you know, it's practicing medicine, right? It can go wrong and it might not work for everyone. It doesn't. The stats prove that. So it's risky. But I knew that if it went well and I could get back, then it would benefit me in the long run. But I guess I knew that it would be a physical struggle, but I didn't really take into consideration how difficult it would be mentally. And that was challenging and it was tough. And, you know, I went into some, you know, horribly dark places to try and get back from that and recover from that. So I think by not, you know, and I don't want to sound like it's not a positive or I'm not grateful for it, but I haven't stopped working for 13 years because, as I said, a lot of films came to the UK and I think I got into it at the right time and worked with a lot of great people that taught me along the way. And I was very busy and have been very busy. So to decide to take me 6 months off, you're not making money for 6 months, but you've still got to pay the bills. You've still got to provide for your family. And I take care of my mum. And I think you then, and again, with all that time to actually think and that I don't normally have, because it's normally go, 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 go. You know, it's not easy to go, you know, get through it. And I really struggle with that. Mental health, I think, is something that's, you know, I've experienced it to the worst depths, if you like. And it's, you know, it's difficult. And people, more people than we realize, go through this. And
yeah,
I didn't realize until I went through it at the beginning of 2019, pretty much up until maybe 7 weeks ago. I was still on and off, not quite right. And I had to change some dramatic things in my life to find myself. But I started to get back from full fitness and I'm starting to head that way now, which is good. And back to work before this pandemic started. And I found a passion for writing and I wrote a children's book, you know, that's going to be published next year, which is great. And I'm writing a screenplay at the moment. And I've acted in my first film that comes out later this year, hopefully in August, September. It's called School Fight Movie. And yeah, I've dipped my toe in different waters, if you like, and tried different things. And I'm actually really enjoying that process and that creative side and trying something quite different. And, you know, and I've obviously, you know, a big part of the Center Fitness app with Chris Hemsworth. So I'm feeling good, mate. I think it's the best I've felt for a very long time. And trying to find the real Bobby Holland Hanton was difficult, but I think I'm on the path to that now.
I'm curious to know, man, like mental health is something that I'm quite passionate about as well, especially among the male space, because it is sometimes is overlooked, especially with this macho figure that you need to have a persona, like you are this man, you're not allowed to cry, you're not allowed to show emotion, all this sort of stuff that is being stereotyped quite often in society. Among other men, among women as well, that you can't be a certain way, otherwise you're not a man. And I'm curious to know for you, man, like when you went through those dark moments in those places, because I've been there, I was in there last year, so I know, and it hurts. And digging yourself out of that hole is probably like the hardest thing you can possibly do, because you've got people around you that don't really understand what you're going through at the same time. And then you got those people that do, and they sort of build you up and help you to get outside that hole. But you've got to make the choice for yourself. Otherwise it's not going to happen. So how did you actually take yourself out of that hole that you were in? And what were some of the strategies that you implemented right now as well, that's going to help you not to get back to the same way?
Yeah, I think, and you know, and it's so true, Jay, what you say, it gets overlooked, and it's, we, you know, I guess there's obviously case studies that have been done, the figures that they're actually not true, because of a lot of guys would not express that and keep it in. I think culture, you know, the way that things have happened in the past with, you know, granddads and the older generation, it was that kind of, that's just what was installed in them, that men don't cry, men don't, you know, they get upset, their emotions, and that was just the way of life, where it's, but you know, there was no doubt that they were going through that then, back then, but couldn't talk about it because, you know, as you said, it was frowned upon. And I think by this kind of the millennials and this new kind of generation, you feel a more open, still not enough, definitely not. And I felt that I'm the one in, you know, I've been fortunate in my career to achieve what I've achieved and make some good money along the way, which is given me the chance to look after my family, my mum, and help out with my family. And I'm happy to do that. And it's a, you know, it's an honor to be able to do that. But it also comes with a lot of pressure, because you feel like you're Mr. Support and you're the one that supports the family and you're there for them when they need you. And over time, without you realizing and without you knowing it, it builds up and builds up almost like almost like Jenga. It's like, yeah. And eventually it's going to fall over. And it happened to me massively. And I think a concoction of everything, me stopping work for that period of time, me having surgery, me on prescription medication that I didn't think I was taking too many of, but I absolutely was. You know, I'll have a drink when I wanted to, glass of wine or a, you know, beer or whatever on a Sunday. And then you drink, you know, too many, and you'd be taking prescription drugs as well. So that kind of the chemical imbalance there is really not good for the brain, and it's certainly not good for my brain. And I found that I would, you know, especially again, I was starting to feel better, and then COVID hit, and that kind of was the last straw for me. It was, okay, well, I need to reevaluate what's going on, because if I continue going this way, it's only going to end up badly, and very badly. And I think because I've always had back pain, I've taken prescription drugs to ease the pain.
Pain, yeah.
And think that it's making me better, but by taking that to the amount I was, and for so many years, because I've had back pain for so many years, was actually very detrimental to my health. And I feel that it would make me worse, depression, moods, and short tempered and argumentative. It was terrible. So 7 weeks, six and a half weeks ago, you know, knocked everything on the head, and I take each day as it comes, and every day is a new day, but I feel in myself, this is the best I've ever been. And I'm continuing to get better, stronger, find myself and inner peace that is very important to me right now. And I think also you get clouded by society and what you think you're supposed to do. And my whole career is also, you know, wanting to achieve what I do and do it to the highest level. But it's also been that culture of chase money, because it's going to make you happy. And it's just not the case. You know, it's not the case. And the more you make, you're still not happy. So you say, well, I need to obviously make more then, because I'm not happy. It doesn't make sense. But that's kind of what we've been installed in us. To be successful, you need to make money.
Yeah.
And that will make you happy. And it just is so far from the truth. It's unbelievable. And I've only come to realize that in this period now, that I've really had time to reflect and peel back the layers and really ground myself and say, you know what, this doesn't make me happy. Yeah, great. If it comes with being able to do what you're passionate about and be happy is the most important, and work in that capacity. If money comes with that, then that's a bonus. Because we all like to live well. We don't want to be scrimping and scraping to try and make ends meet. You know, I have responsibilities to my family, my mum, and, you know, pay the bills, pay the mortgage. But I'm more than happy to just have enough just to do that now. And I think I was trying to chase something that was just not really me. It wasn't. And I think that was kind of eating me away, is that I didn't know who I was. And that, you know, I was chasing something that's a materialistic in a way. Mm. I never had those things growing up. It was quite a struggle growing up. And I knew what it was like to work hard and have something that I didn't, you know, get often. And my mum worked her ass off to give everything she could to me and my sister. And she'd done the most amazing job. She's honestly an angel. But there was something growing up that I was, you know, kind of like, well, I don't want to be like that. So it made me work harder. And now, you know, I get to have nice things. I think it clouds your judgment if you don't really sit back sometimes and actually really think what does make you happy. And again, I think this is the calmest I've ever been. And I think everyone would agree with me that knows me. And I'm hoping that it's a new chapter in my life and a new Bobby and keep moving in the right direction, you know, take each day as it comes.
It's so good to hear, man, that you're much better now than what you were before, because trust me, having gone through my own sort of pains and being down and out and chasing something that isn't worth much, it's not worth actually fighting for it. It's right now, I personally am the happiest I've ever been, because I get to do the thing that I love the most, which is helping people through
amazing
stories, you know. And your story, I know, is going to help inspire so many young people, even older people too, man. Like, having gone through a similar thing like you did, man, like that's special, that not many people are comfortable with sharing that, especially like they're very closed off on it and it's personal. I don't want to share that or anything like that, but you've been able to share it, which I'm inspired by. I thank you for that, man. And I honor you for it as well.
Thank you.
Because it's something that is needed to hear.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think you'll agree with this, is that I've, again, being male and what we thought we cannot do and what we shouldn't do and it's frowned upon, is I've always been, I haven't been this honest and haven't talked about my feelings, especially to media outlets, because you're worried what the knock-on effect is. But I felt in that way, everything's good and I'm all good. Nothing, there's no problems in my life. And by living that way, you're just living in a lie. And it's not, I feel that it's almost a therapeutic way of releasing pressure, releasing problems, and being able to talk to people such as yourself and actually just get it off your chest. It's so important to healing and so important to moving forward in the right direction. And that's really how I feel. And I think that it's long overdue that, you know, I've kind of seen this side of it and tried to, because listen, no one wants to go through any kind of pain, and by talking to someone can make all the difference by getting things off your chest and not suppressing it all. And because it's only a ticking time bomb that is inevitably going to go off. It may go off soon, it may go off in the future, but it will go off. I can promise you that. So to talk through things and have people say, do you know what, I've been through that as well, and you kind of go, shit, there's other people that have been through this, and you can kind of connect that way and talk through things and help support and give advice and whatever it may be, and take advice. Yeah. And by helping people, like you said, someone very, very close to me has just passed away from cancer 3.5 weeks ago. And I felt like it's fate that the fact that, you know, my nan, she was 82, the most incredible woman in the entire world, and she passed away. She went into hospital with a blood clot on her leg, and that was what she was going in for. And then 3 weeks later, she passes away from cancer. So someone reached out to me, a friend reached out to me via another friend, and he is the founder of Battle Cancer. It's a charity that he runs. And it was literally, he reached out to me to see if I could help and try and support in any way, literally 3 days after Nan passed away, which I then felt, this is meant to be, you know, and I want to do this for myself to help other people, but also in memory of my Nan, to help Battle Cancer, the foundation. And funny enough, today for us, which is, it's 11:30 in the UK, at 6 p.m. today in the UK, we have a huge announcement to make with Battle Cancer that will be, you know, hopefully picked up by news outlets and obviously all over social media, to help people with cancer that are going through the therapy, that have come through the therapy. That fitness is such an important thing that people, I think, more and more are starting to realize now, but mentally, how it helps you mentally to train and try and be as fit as you possibly can, eat well. It's proven that in studies that it helps you in every single way. And this is the foundation that tries to promote that and tries to, you know, fundraise and then utilize that money for research and helping these other bigger cancer charities. So amazing. This guy that I've been working with, Scott Britton, is really an inspiration. Him and his wife gave up their jobs to fully focus on this. And yeah, as you said, it's, you want to help people and that's what life's about, right? I think people get shaded and a little bit, it gets misconstrued what you want to actually, what is the right thing to do and what you want to achieve. And I think even with Corona, for example, I think it's going to hopefully make the world only a better place eventually by people actually taking a step back and thinking, wow, this has happened. And I think priorities need to come into play a little bit more. And it's, you know, try and be, and again, I would just say to try and be the best person you can possibly be. And that's what I'm trying to do now every day.
I always say as well, like going back to the pain side of things, pain is inevitable, but your attitude towards the pain, you can control. See, absolutely. It's all a mindset, and our minds are so powerful that we can control it. We can control how we feel. We can control how we think. So if we decide today, I'm going to be positive and I'm going to not allow this to affect me. I know it's hard because we've all been there, but if we create a good habit in our life of telling ourselves daily, okay, it's going to be okay. What's the worst that can happen to me? Probably nothing. It's all going to be okay. I'm going to go through this pain today, but tomorrow might not be there. We'll just take each day, like you said, as it comes. We'll do the best that we possibly can. And look, if you need help, don't be afraid to reach out to somebody. That's the fear as well that comes along with pain is you may never know if someone else is going through the same thing until you ask the question. So yeah. my grandfather used to tell me all the time, he's like, Jared, if you don't ask, you don't get. And it's so true. He's like, if you want to know an answer to a question, just ask. And the worst they can possibly say to you is no, or not now, or I'm not interested. So what? Find someone else. Keep asking the same question until you get a response. And if your question is, why am I here? Talk to someone about it. If my question is, why am I going through this? Once again, ask someone a question. Talk to them about it. And you'll find that, like with that organization that you're mentioning, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And I would be absolutely honored to share.
Please, if you can, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that man, like honestly, because I know a lot of people that have been through cancer and seeing their mental states, and like it's incredible. It's life-changing, and seeing people that actually do things like this, like yourself, I'm always thinking in the back of my mind, why is that? Why? You know, and it's honestly a true testament to you as a person. You're humble, man. You're just down to earth, which I appreciate, man. Like you don't find many people like that that have actually done all this stuff and are still really, really down to earth.
I think that's very kind, and I think humility is such an important thing. And I guess, you know, the things that go along with everything is we try and suppress, or we try and push away emotions, which is, you cannot. It's never, you can't push them away, and they stay away. We're always trying to hide them instead of sitting with them and actually dealing with them. Like you said, trying to deal with the pain and accept that pain is there, accept that you're, you know, upset and sit with it. It's absolutely fine to have those emotions. And I think that we don't really let ourselves, you know, sit with it and go through that. And someone said to me, and it's such a simple, simple way of thinking and concept of, we always go, oh, well, I'm a bit anxious about this because in 6 weeks I've got this. And to draw that back and say, okay, we're projecting now, that's 6 weeks away. There's nothing you can do. You have no power what's in the future. The only thing you have power over right now is the present and in the moment. And if you can just try and live each day as it comes, and it sounds a little bit, when you say, I'm just living each day as it comes, you kind of go, hold on, what's wrong with you? Are you dying? You kind of like, actually, no, I'm going to try and live each day and appreciate each day for what it is.
Yeah.
I'll do the best I can in that day. And the next day, at the end of that day, I'm going to think, well, how can I improve on that tomorrow? How can I improve on that the next day? And it actually, just to start thinking that way, which I've never done before until just recently, to actually go, do you know what? I can't, there's no point projecting because I don't have any power over that. There's no point looking in back in what's happened in the past because that's done. There's nothing you can change. But if I can just live in the moment, and it's hard to, because it's not easy. You tell yourself to do that every day and your mind does wander, but it's okay for it to wander because you just try and accept, you know, sit with that for a second and then just let that thought go and bring yourself back into the present. And I think it's made me so much calmer and so much more at peace with accepting, you know, what it is today and how it is to be just today. I'm finding that to be such a good thing for me. And I think it's such a simple thing. If you can try and just, it does just sound so simple because it is so simple. And I think if people can try and do that a little bit more, you will find yourself in a much better space. But again, it's not as easy. It's not always as easy as that. But if you can try and just use that as a tool, I think you're on the right path.
That's interesting line of thought as well, because, you know, it is simple, but the problem is we overcomplicate it because we overthink it too much. And that becomes another problem. It like just spirals out of control because we've allowed it to. So we've taken a simple thing and made it a challenge. So
you've added something that, because, you know, in 6 weeks, that whatever you were worried about and whatever you were projecting, the chances are it's gone, it's not happened. And the chances are once it does happen, it's nowhere near as bad as what you thought it was. So you've just wasted all that energy, all that negative energy, hired yourself out for no reason whatsoever. Just doesn't make sense. But humans are made up as we are, and body and mind that we sometimes are so disconnected from, and to try and reconnect that is obviously so important. And, you know, and I feel that I've always projected. I've always been like, well, I need to do this. I need to make this much money. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know, I'm still very particular in my way of, you know, I try and be as organized as I possibly can, because I definitely suffer from OCD, and over the years it's got worse. Everything in my house has to be completely spotless and in place. And if it moves, I kind of know that someone's moved it. I've got to put it back. And, you know, I've got a stepdaughter that's just about to turn 8, and my wife is, you know, here as well. And it's, you know, she's a kid, and she wants to do what she wants to do. And I get like, oh my God, Tay, what are you doing? It's messy. And then she's very good, really, you know, but I sometimes have to step back and go, she's only a kid. And it's just the way that I'm put together. But it's always about trying to change that and find a balance, really, because I also find that trying to be organized and have OCD actually does benefit me in ways as well, of, you know, drive and focus and ambition but that comes with me feeling like trying to be the best person I can be. So in a way it's good. Other ways it's definitely not. But to accept that and try and balance that out is for me the key.
That's good, man. Like I have so many questions for you in terms of, I guess, the film side of things, but our conversation sort of shifted into something completely different, which is amazing. And it's something that I'm passionate about as well. So two passions that we're able to talk about. A couple more questions for you, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So what is your greatest achievement, you would say, in the film industry?
The greatest achievement in the film industry, I think, going into the film industry and wanting to be a stunt performer, if you get through the training, which is hard enough, and then you become a professional stunt performer in the UK, or, you know, obviously in the world as well, to work on a TV show and do stunts on a TV show or work on a film is, you know, it's a great achievement straight away. I think as a stunt performer, you want to be a stunt double for a lead actor. That's an achievement. And then the next achievement on top of that is to be a stunt double for the lead actor in an iconic role or superhero or some kind of And I feel so lucky and humbled that, you know, I stunt double for James Bond. So that's a bucket list ticked off. Batman, bucket list ticked off. Captain America and Thor. So I feel my biggest achievement in the industry is that, for those four huge roles, and to also then have such a close relationship with Chris Hemsworth and become his contractual stunt double, where I travel the world with him and do every movie with him, and I have done for the last 9 years, 12 films together with him now. That's a huge achievement for me as well. And I just think, when I did Bond, that was my first job. I was 23. I went straight in at the top on my first ever job, and I was kind of like, this is incredible, and trying to take it all in, but trying to learn while I was going. So I almost like a deer in headlights, because it was, holy shit, I'm doing the biggest job and I'm 23 and it's my first job, and I'm trying to learn the craft. And so that in itself is a huge achievement for me, and I'm so proud of that. And then to be able to then say, at the beginning, I was trying to think to myself, where do I go now? What do I do now? I mean, I would be happy if I never was a stunt double again for a lead and just worked on shows here and there in the background as a background stunt. I would be happy. I can't believe this has happened. So then you try and find, again, trying to bet yourself, trying to be the best. So I'm like, well, now what do I do?
Yeah.
So then Batman came along, and I was like, that's exactly what I need right now, and that's on par. And then Thor came along. Captain America, I stunt double for Thor and Captain America in Avengers Age of Ultron in the same movie, which I think not many people have been able to do that as well. So that was a massive achievement. And then to be Chris's stunt double and be in his contract. So the things have, by working hard and believing in myself, those things have got better, when really it was difficult for me to believe that that could happen once I'd done Bond, because where do you go from that? And I've managed to, over the last 13 years, keep, you know, improving in on top of that, which is crazy to think of for me. And then now, then you think 13 years after, now what do I do? And I've just acted in my first movie that will be out, as I said, later this year, hopefully in August. I wrote a children's book. I'm writing a screenplay. I've got, you know, I'm a huge part of the Centre app. So life, if you believe in it and you work hard, it will just keep getting better. And you find things that you feel are achievements in other ways. So for me to be able to, my mum was getting bullied at work, and she called me in tears that she was, you know, getting bullied, and she hated the job. And I said to her, do you know what? That's it. You're never going back to work again, or that job, certainly not going back to work. I'm going to retire you. I'm going to pay you a wage. I'm going to buy you a house. And for me to be able to do it after she gave her whole life for me is the biggest achievement I've ever been able to achieve. A lot of pressure, don't get me wrong, but you know, I'll take that on, because that's a real achievement. Second to that as well is actually achievement. I feel is one of my biggest achievements is how I feel now, right now, and finding Bobby Holland Hanlon it's taken me this long. It's taken me 35 years to find who I feel that I am, and or heading in the right direction, or starting to accept things that the way they are and try and better myself. Huge, massive life achievement for me so far. And as I said, who knows? I know that there's going to be ups and downs, but I take each day as it comes. But right now, in this present moment, talking to you, I feel probably the best I've ever felt. And that for me, mind and body, that's a massive achievement for me. And then again, trying to help out this charity and do everything I can in my power to keep that message being pushed out there. And today, as I said, will be a huge announcement and something massive, which I hope that will be huge. And I know it'll be huge for the charity, and I know that it will help cancer sufferers. So that's, again, another massive achievement for me to be able to, and I'm honored. They've made me an ambassador, which is absolutely an amazing honor and achievement. So I think once you find that and you can take pride and in whatever way it is or shape or form throughout your life, I'm so happy and feel that I find that achievement in other ways, and as well as my career, that makes me happy and makes me whole, and hopefully a lot more to come. I want to continue on that road and I found a new passion for writing that I never thought. I didn't really go to school, Jay. I was terrible. So I found a passion for writing and I'm enjoying it. And listen, if it's a, I think what I also used to do is I never stepped outside of my comfort zone because I was scared of failing. So when I was growing up as a kid, I was a gymnast. And back then, gymnastics was frowned upon for males because we were told it was a girl's sport back then. You know, again, that's what we get fed when you just don't know. Yeah, that's what you're told. I was wearing a leotard, so people at school used to say that I was a girl and I used to get bullied. To get through that, you know, that those issues and come out the other side, you know, to then go into my industry now and all the I really believe it's the achievements are when you get knocked down, how you respond from that. That's the real strength. That's the real achievement that you can only hope that you can overcome.
Mm.
And to be able to do that, dude, is just, yeah, it makes me very, very happy.
That's incredible, man. I have so many questions outside of that, like amazing response. But one of them comes to mind the most is you're working with, you form a good relationship with Chris Hemsworth with the Centaur app, being his stunt double over the years, working together for such a long time. What's one lesson that Chris has taught you that you still remember to this day?
Absolute humility. Chris is probably the nicest, most humble guy, not just because of who he is, full stop, in general, full stop. He's an amazing dad. He's an amazing husband. He's an amazing friend. He's so thoughtful. He's got the biggest heart. He will help anyone. I absolutely look up to him. He's taught me so much in 9 years. It feels like he's taught me 30 years worth of information, and to be able as lucky, and I feel as lucky as I am to work with him and be very close. You know, we're very, very close friends and we talk on a daily basis and he supports me in everything that I do. And, you know, I try and be the best friend I can to him.
Mm.
He's taught me that those materialistic things really don't matter. And it's about the person that you are. And the whole family, the whole Hemsworth family are so inspiring and they've really helped me grow as a person. My wife is inspiring to me. My mum is inspiring to me. My best friend, Ben Brown, is inspiring to me. My nan's is inspiring to me. And I really appreciate those type of people in my life that have helped me and supported me. And I've got a great network, as I said earlier, of friends. And it's so funny when people say, again, it's what we're told, right? It's, oh, I'm sure that you can only count your best friends on one hand. You probably can't. I'm sorry. And I've got probably 30 friends, best friends that are really close to me. And people are like, there's no way you can. Yeah. I'm not lying. I'm not lying to myself. I'm not lying to these people. I really do have at least that many friends and family in my life that I can call on at any time that are there for me and support me and I grow from and learn from. So that in itself, I feel so lucky and honored to have that in my life because I know that a lot of people don't. I know that most people don't. Mm. So I feel very lucky for that.
Wow, man, that's honestly incredible. My last question for you is to do with legacy. And it's more of a fun sort of legacy question. I ask this to people at the end. It's basically you've reached the age of 100 and all your friends that you just mentioned before have put together a mixtape for you of everything you've ever said, everything you've ever done. They asked me how they got it. They just did. And they put it together for you on your 100th birthday and they show it to you. What do you want that mixtape to say and to show about Bobby Hanton?
I guess you try and find a balance with everything. And I'm very childish, you know, and sometimes people, sometimes be afraid to say that. Yeah, I'm a bit of a child, but I'm not afraid to say that anymore because it keeps me young mentally. Definitely. I could probably do with being a bit older mentally. My wife would agree with that anyway, but I'd like that, you know, it shows my fun side and having a laugh and that, you know, and I've got so many funny friends that we have so much fun and also laughter is the best thing in the entire world. It's number one, the best thing. So I'd like to think that I've shown my kindness I would like to think that it would show my funny side, my caring side, my sensitive side, but also I'd like to show my vulnerable side and the mistakes that I've made, but also not the mistakes that I've made, but how I've learned from them. I think that's so important, to learn from the mistakes. Mm. To accept that you've done something wrong and own it is so important, because a lot of people stay in denial and I didn't do that, or I'm not accepting, that's not my fault. I've done that for a very long time. And again, my wife will, you know, second that. Mm. I think accepting, being honest with yourself and accepting what you've done wrong, and then say, well, how can I learn from this? Because it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to make the mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. If you don't fail, then you're not learning. If you don't fail, you cannot be successful. So I'd like to think that mixtape would show, first and foremost, the fun side, because you want people to have a laugh and be remembered for that, but also show everything about myself. And it, you know, if you lay all your cards on the table, at least you've done everything you can. If people don't like it, that's fine. But at least you've been honest with yourself. But you've been amazing, dude. I feel like I've been really serious in this, when there's much more of a funny side to me. So when we do this again, hopefully in the near future.
Number two.
Yeah, absolutely, dude.
But I appreciate your kindness, man. I just wanted to acknowledge you for a moment as well. You've been very generous with your time. I know we did go over than what I initially asked. I appreciate that, man. And where can people find you?
I'm always quite active on Instagram with showing behind the scenes stunts and what we've done, and also stupid funny videos where I like to try and, you know, keep that going. I don't want to, although, like, again, we talked about, I'm human. I have problems as well, but, you know, sometimes that's something that you don't need to be posting all over the, you know, I don't want to bring people down. I want people to be happy. So
yeah,
on my Instagram, there's training videos, there's stuff for center, there's stunt videos, there's me having a laugh, there's me messing about with my family. So my Instagram is BobbyDazzler84. Obviously on Twitter, Facebook, website is www.bobbyhollandhanson.com. And also, if anyone is inspired and feels, you know, compelled to find out more information from Battle Cancer, you can check it out on Instagram at battle.cancer, but also the website is www.battlecancer.com. And yeah, I guess I'm always showing some silly, stupid stuff. So check me out on Instagram and you can find me there.
I'll attest to that, mate. I've seen some funny stuff that you posted. Hilarious, especially with Extraction as well, like just the fun nature of being on set with that movie as well. So I'll make sure that everything is in the show notes below. But Bobby, thank you so much, man, for your time and for coming on the Storybox podcast, sharing a little bit about yourself and just being vulnerable for a moment. So I appreciate you, man.
Thank you very much, mate. You've been a great host, and thank you for reaching out and we're making this work. I'm glad we can connect without, you know, with the crazy time difference. And listen, just let me know when you want to do this again. We'll do part two, and I promise all the listeners that I'll be much more fun next time.
I'll be more awake too. I'll be more alive. Not to say that I'm not now, but you know, I'm more like energetic, and you know, same here, man. So I think it's because I've been up since 3 a.m. this morning. So,
cool, man, you should get some sleep. You deserve it.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. Thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the Storybox Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to hear more episodes like this one, you can do so now over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify just by searching up the Storybox. And if you got something out of this week's episode, please leave a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts and share it around with your friends and family. Let's start changing people's lives through powerful stories. You can also connect with the Storybox on social media for updates, or just send a nice message via Instagram and Facebook just by searching up the Storybox. It's that easy. Until we dive next week back into the Storybox, I'm Jay Phantom, and don't forget to share your story around. I'll catch you then. Ooh.